Oh,
hello,
Joe.
To another episode of SW Podcast, y'all. It's Podcast Wednesday. What's up?
This Wednesday. Wednesday got here so quick.
It got here real fast. It is Wednesday, like, May 18th, y'all.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the month. We almost at the end of the month.
Don't play.
That's just how fast May then went.
May is going, gone. Mother's Day is over. What's up, Joe?
Joe say he is the first. Can't nobody beat him. He on him. Ferris come in. Come on, Joe. I see you, Joe.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, bud? You chilling? You enjoying life?
Joe say I'm the first.
Joe say I'm first. And we appreciate you for being here, Jen.
Appreciate that.
We definitely appreciate that. This back noise down. Yes, you know it's going down, Joe. We getting ready to go ahead and jump into it. So welcome to SW Podcast, Wednesday, May 18th. It is 2022. We are literally a week and a few days away from the day that my daughter and several other children in the Leon County area walk across that stage, y'all. So big up to the parents, the children, to everybody for these successful moments that are coming.
Pat yourselves on the back, parents. Pat yourselves on the back.
We are patting. And then, okay, so we got Kels. What's happening, Kels?
Hey, Kels.
Yes.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
I don't see our names up there, Queen. Where are our names at?
Oh, cause the comments up. Once you take the comments off, then our names pop back up.
Oh, cause I was like, well, what's going on? Okay, right. Cause I was a little worried.
I noticed that a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we are live and we are happy to be here, y'all. So what's up? What's up? What's up? All right, y'all. So today's show is going to be, we're going to be talking about high functioning depression in Black women. But I just have to say this, though. Anytime we talk about what's going on with Black women, it almost ultimately affects the Black man as well. So like last week, we were talking about equality amongst Black women. And that was just a conversation that went straight into the full culture. Which is pretty much what's going to happen with this one. I already know that as well. So welcome. And we are truly excited that you all are here today. I just thank y'all for tuning in. And we're going to go ahead and jump into the show by getting started with the quote of the day. And that is, there are words that never show on the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds. Author unknown.
The wounds on the body.
Yes, there are words that never show on the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds.
I don't know what these like to say, cause that's deep.
Yeah,
imagine you just holding on to something that you, we all done been through that.
Yeah.
We all done been through that at some point in our life.
And the thing about that is that.
And still carrying it. Some people still carrying it.
Because they're masking it every single day. They've never gotten the help they deserve for it. Or they probably don't even desire to get over it. They want, some people will hold on to things because that's their way of not having to deal with you, because they remember that. They put that at the forefront of their minds. But there are words that never show in the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds. It just says so much without having to say anything. The quote is very direct, and it speaks to my heart because it makes it sad, almost. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It carries like a burden within the people, and that's something that you shouldn't have to deal with.
That's heavy. That is very heavy.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that, but there was something, I can't even get to it right now. I think I may be able to, though, if I can go grab my other phone. This is the day that I wish I could tell feeling to come up here. But, Queen, do you have a phone where you can go on the podcast page?
I don't have a damn phone. I'm with you. Okay. I ain't got a damn phone.
I'm finna go grab it then. I'm got to, because I want to, there was a snippet that I saved, that I heard, that I saved until yesterday, to share, so that we can actually discuss what the show was going to be about today. And it was one of the reasons why I chose this particular topic for this show. So it was basically just saying,
y'all get the phone.
Oh, yeah, let me do that.
Please get that phone. This is going to be a great topic. Very interesting. The things that we carry on. The pain that we carry with ourselves all the time.
So much.
Very interesting.
Just so much. And the fact that we have to try to disguise our hurt. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep going.
But that's what we've been taught.
But it's so wrong. And because if we have to try to continue to carry and bear all this without getting any help, trying to talk to somebody about it, all these things going on, and we don't have anywhere to go. So, and we do have places to go. It's just a lot of times we don't want to go.
To go and embarrassed.
We don't trust.
Embarrassment.
It's an embarrassment.
No trust.
The lack of trust. It's
a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot. So I'm going to go to the post really quick, though. I want to definitely share it. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and talk to you. We're going to go ahead and start the show as well. Because I'd be forgetting how to go back to some of this stuff, child. Chelsea.
Did you share it, or did you are you sent it to somebody?
I think, I don't know, Queen.
Because
you reposted it, didn't it? When I posted it yesterday, about the young lady talking about how we
I seen that. How she was talking about how we be high now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we be going through, how you have the high functioning depression.
Okay.
And when she said, I'm like, high functioning depression.
And
all right, here we go.
I could just relate to every post.
Okay.
I just read a thread about high functioning depression in Black women. And that was so hard to read, because I could just relate to every post. You hear about high functioning alcoholics, high functioning drug addicts, but no one ever puts high functioning with depression. And I remember back in like 2020 when this guy that I was very close with, you know, flipped the script, told me he's loved me since way back when, and then flipped the script again and took it all back. I remember being cognizant enough to realize that those feelings I was feeling, the crying all the time, the barely eating, the hardly wanting to interact with my daughter because I didn't want her to see me looking like that, but I still did what I had to do because I'm a mother. All those are signs of depression. One of the women in the thread said,
Some of the things that she spoke about, that she had with signs that she had pop up on the screen, was that these were the signs of depression: the lack of energy, the being angry for small things, being tired all the time, not wanting to talk to people, running home crying. These are things that you deal with once you get into your personal space and you can let it all flow then. But while you're out into the public, you're having to put on this disguise to be able to push through. And that, it, like, this sp- spoke so many volumes to me because I never ever experienced depression until I was was going through my separation. And I don't talk about my personal life like that, y'all. So bear with me on this. But so I'm going to try to talk about it without talking about it. But a lot of the things that she was doing and things that she said that she was highlighting, I was going through that. I was having those issues. I was trying to get up and like driving to work. Face, I done did my face in the morning before I left for work, but by the time I get to work, it ain't nothing else on my face.
Because you done been in there crying all
the whole way to work. Or like just why you can't even concentrate. You doing your job. You're doing it.
But you ain't focused.
But your focus isn't there. The care for
you ain't there.
You're definitely not there. And it's so many different things that we're expected to do. You have to still be a parent. You have to still be an employee. You have to still be a sister. You have to still be a brother. And you're trying to do all of this because you're trying to go through things without allowing so many people to see you going through it. That's depression. That's sad. Because the thing that we should not have to do is hide our depression. We've been taught that we have to do that. And up until 2019, when I first sought my first therapist, I didn't start going to therapy until 2019. Out of my whole life, there was probably a million other reasons for why I should have went to therapy, but I ain't never think that was bothering me. None of that was a reason to be therapeutic about. But that particular time, I said, it's time to heal everything. Like, it's time to bring it to the forefront. It's time to talk about it. It's time to get it out. Because if I don't do this, I will be nothing to my girls. They'll look at me as if you can't tell me how to handle this when you just sat up there and did everything this way. I'm not
I'm not a do as I say parent.
I'm a do as I do parent. So if my kids see me fall down, they're going to know how to get up because they ain't see me stay down now. But I'm not the parent that just talked to them and said, hey, get up. No, they see me get up. They see me make it happen. They see that. So you can't be that do as I say parent. You got to show these children, because a lot of kids, they watching what you do more than they're listening to what you say. So
a lot of parents give their kids false narratives. I just had this conversation with my friend Samantha, and she was saying something that when she was listening to church Sunday, another pastor that she was listening to, and he was saying that him and his kids used to play this game when they lights was off, who could go to the bed get to the room the fastest while I stomp and they toe. And I was like, but that's a false narrative, that like that's false that he gave them, that knowing that the lights was off. I said, sometimes you just have to tell your kids and let them know what's going on. Because if they, every kid takes things different. But it depends on the situation. I'll put it like that. But I was like, I remember coming home and our lights was off. They went off all the whole night. Once mom got off work, she went and paid the bill and stuff. But we knew they was off. And my mom, she was always so open with us when it comes to stuff. And I always tell people, man, you got to let your kids know what's going on. Because by you not letting them know what's going on, then you giving them that false reality.
Yep.
And then that ain't good. So then when they start acting crazy on you and mad, well, why we can't do this? Why we can't do that? Because you've been giving them this false reality this whole time. When you just need to be honest with them.
You're afraid. You let your pride and your ego parent versus the actual you actually parenting. Because if you allow your pride, like sometimes you got to put some of that to the side. My mom, when it came to reality and the things that we had going on as kids, my mom was definitely pretty open with us, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it wasn't a way that she could really hide a lot of things, because as being the oldest child, you know, I pay attention to everything.
Everything.
You know what I'm saying? My observance level was like, what's going on now? You know what I'm saying?
So, and then with you being the oldest, you had to.
Yeah.
It's almost like you had to.
Yeah, and she communicated a lot with me about what what's been going on. So, so we want to go ahead and start the narrative of strong Black women are allowed to have depression too. They think that because you're strong, you're not allowed to be meek or a little, you know, soft, or you don't need help, or like no woman.
Like you don't got no type of compassion or anything.
Right. No woman. But I think that's just how America looks at the Black people in general in this country. Like, we're not worth compassion. We're not worth sympathy. We're not worth empathy. There's some, they just feel like, oh, they strong. They could take it. Why? You know why they think we could take it? Because we had to take it.
We had no choice.
So just
because y'all ain't give us the choice. You did not give them the choice.
Just because we was forced to do a lot of things, that doesn't mean that we were strong enough to accept those things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why. That's why my compassion for my people runs the way it run, man. Like, bro, we've been through some shit. Yeah. Nobody looks at us and just say, you know, maybe they deserve a break today.
What? We'll never have a break.
You know what I'm saying? But we got we'll to be never the, have a break. And I'm talking about us. Like, I don't care what the rest of society think about us, because we already know what they think about us. Mm-hmm. But until we start seeing a difference when we look at each other, seeing compassion, seeing empatheticness, sympathy. Love. When you look at your brethren, you should be able to see that. But no, not, why are we, like, it's nothing. It's nothing there. It's hatred. Your competitive spirit, and I know it's because of what we've been through, what we've been taught, what, I know all of that. I know it. I do. But when somebody turns around to you and says, you know what? I ain't gonna fuss with you or fight with you or argue with you because you my people. And you still raring up and now you done
pulled. You still ready to go. When they over there, calm down.
But we'll back all the way up when another race. Oh, we'll argue with them. We ain't just pulling out no gun on no other race. I've never seen it happen. Mm-mm. I've never seen it happen. Mm-mm. Because you hate who you is. So if you're gonna hate who you is, you think the other people gonna have compassion? If they don't see us having compassion for each other, you think they're gonna give a damn about having compassion for us? Then if we see each other as animals, that's what they're gonna continue to see us as. So that depression, that high functioning depression, is definitely amongst Black men and Black women, because Black men get up every single day and they carry, they don't even know they're going through depression.
Mm-mm. They don't know at all. And if they do, they ain't gonna admit it to nobody. You might have a few that might talk to their homeboy, you know.
Right.
Like, bro, you know, I've been like, you know what I'm saying? You may have a few that probably will open up. That's why I say I always like to sit around men and listen to them conversate and stuff. They talk. Don't get it twisted. But
I love
a lot of them ain't gonna mix. Yeah, a lot of them ain't gonna admit that. Now they will to us because we females.
That's what I was just about to say.
They will to us because we they female friends, so they already know like how to come to us and talk to us about that stuff. And then us being the type of women that we are, we almost darn near able to just pull stuff out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just come to you and not even pull it out of them. They just so comfortable with the presence.
Yeah,
that they just. That go back to that trust.
It's trust. It's written
that trust,
and it's that, and like Kel say, it's definitely trust issues that keep people from talking. But when they do have that trust in you, sometimes you can't stop them from talking.
Yeah, my homeboy told me that.
I love that now. Like that to me means that like I done broke down a wall, or I've allowed them to move that wall. Because I ain't even, half of the time, you don't even got to knock it down when they're dealing with somebody who they can trust. They'll just go ahead and start easing that wall out the way. So that they
can kind of get little bit by little bit.
Yeah. Little bit by little bit. So, Black and African Americans, Black people hold beliefs related to stigma, psychological openness, and help seeking, which in turn affects their coping behaviors. And it also says that 30% of participants that are going to therapy have reported, only 30% though, 30% of participants have reported that it has now come out that since they've been going to therapy that they may have a little bit of a mental illness. Therapy has allowed that to bring that out. But
I wonder if the mental illness is hereditary.
Some of it is, and that would depend on whatever their mental illness is. Mm-hmm. Like schizophrenia could be hereditary.
Hereditary,
certain disorders can be hereditary. So it just depends on what the particular situation is. Black men are particularly concerned about stigma. So when it comes to our culture, Black men more versus Black women, we know that the culture of Black already has a stigma, but Black men are the ones that are more stigmatized when it comes to therapy.
Than a Black woman. That's true.
Black people are more often diagnosed with schizophrenia and less often diagnosed with mood disorders compared to white people with the same symptoms. And additionally, they are medicated. They are offered medication at therapy at the lower rates than the general population. Now, let's talk about that real quick.
Now, see, hold up.
Yeah. I don't believe that. For one,
I don't know that statistics stuff. I don't believe all the statistics stuff all the time.
This is actually a true statistic. The reason why I'm saying one to dive deeper into it is because we know that white patients get prescribed medicine more than Black patients. Mm-hmm. We know that. So that's what this is saying. That the white people are diagnosed at a lesser rate for schizophrenia, and more with mood disorders, but they also are given treatment at a higher rate. Exactly. So treatment for Black people is irrelevant because they think that we're so concerned about opioids. Which populations fucked up on opioids? Why would we be the ones that's getting diagnosed less? It makes no sense. If we heal you, we can't kill you.
And we can't make no money off you. We can't make not a dime off you. That's why they don't want you to be knowing all about this this natural stuff. Because they can't make no money. Your doctor can't make no money. The pharmaceutical company can't make no money. The government can't make no money. That's why they don't want you to know and be doing all this natural eating and stuff like that, planting your garden and your backyard and stuff. They don't want you to know that stuff. The marijuana. All of these years, y'all done told people that marijuana is this. Look, I got patients that take this stuff
because there's nothing wrong with it, but them opioids and narcotics and all them other things, that's really what's breaking people down. Now they having to rely.
That's what's killing them.
Now they having to run to marijuana because all that other stuff was breaking them down and killing them.
That's what's killing them because you can't mix this with that. All the side effects that come with it. Who want to be taking something out there thinking suicidal thoughts? That's crazy.
Correct. But I don't want to be taking nothing and we think that we're going to die.
Got me thinking that I want to go kill somebody or kill myself. Nah, I ain't got time for that. Let me go ahead and do this holistic and all this natural stuff and I'll holler at you later.
And honestly, ever since I've been on my natural stuff, I don't get colds or nothing. Flus, colds.
None of that.
I gotta take my elderberry and I eat my sea moss daily.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Mikhail said, he said, this the land of Monopoly. To them, if it don't make money, it don't make sense.
Trust don't make no me. Sense.
Trust me, Kel.
Don't make sense.
You already know that. And that's not like that's the portion of the conversations that's getting lost. Like, we know what's going on. Like, our people know what's going on out here. They still play into the game, to the hands of the BS. Which makes, that's why I'm telling you,
it's makes no sense.
It's so much BS going on. There's so many reasons why the government can continue to monopolize off of us because we know what's going on, but we still look the other way.
Yeah, because they, you know what it is? Because they done made us believe and think that we always got to be in survival mode.
So sad.
We always got to be in survival mode.
And I'm gonna be like that till I die. I'm protector mode. I'm mama bear mode. That's my mode. I'm gonna be like that until I die. There's no comfort in this country for me. The only time I get a little bit of peace is when I'm in my house, and then I feel like that the door can be kicked in there if they want to martial law
and change that. Cause you don't know what you don't. We don't know. We recorded on these phones that we have in our hand every day, all day, everywhere we go. They know where we at anyway.
Listening to
listening to the conversation.
And then not only that, a lot of these people doors that I got kicked in where they got murdered in their homes. It was mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been any of us.
Anybody.
I like literally a lot of the reason why I don't watch news and look at the news, but a lot of times I have to go back and go remind myself that I got to keep up with what's going on a little bit for statistics, for conversation based, for podcast based, just for different things that I'm involved in. I have to watch the news. Not the news, different storylines. So I was
different
stories. And I saw this young man, he was murdered. He was murdered in prison. Mm-hmm. And the video leaked, and it was the guards did something to him, and they just left him in the room after they, and he stopped breathing. It was like asphyxiation or something, something like that. Young black man, probably like 3 days ago, but I saw it on the news today, and I was like,
That's crazy. This shit is everywhere.
We don't. You know, we're not going to be told about everything that's going on because it's depressing to hear about it. But the part that's happened, the thing is, the strategy is working. The strategy to eliminate the black population is working aimlessly in their favor, even though they still minority when it comes to having babies right now. They're saying that it's a downgrade in their production population. And an upgrade now. And so the Roe v. Wade. The overturning of the Roe v. Wade is simply because of that. They need more babies. Because white people got the money to go in another country and kill their baby. Who you think that this law affect? The low income and the poor population.
And the poor population.
So that means that you're going to throw us in jail. That's less babies.
Let them women choose what they want to do with their body.
Anything to this don't be having nothing to do with what's really going on in the world.
It'd be a whole nother underlying agenda.
It's
always another underlying agenda. But that go back to what you said. You got to really be doing your research, paying attention to what's going on, and really listening, because they be saying stuff right there. Then you know what's going on right now, but it just go right over your head. It just go right over the head. But they be letting us know what's going on.
Just like
for the last pass, probably 8 years they've been talking about, dang, it's been a lot of ammunition. Why all of these stores out of ammunition? Why all of these stores out of this stuff? These people, they've been packing up.
They're packing up.
Storing it up. And this group that I'm a part of, it was a black guy on there. He was like, y'all need, if you ain't got your weapon yet, you need to go and get licensed, because I'm telling y'all, you need to start storing up, because they storing up. So you know if they storing up, they storing up for a reason. It's something to happen. You need to store up.
It's going to go down. But it's just so sad though, Queen, because it's like we ain't ready.
Mm-mm.
The black populace ain't ready.
Because even they looking to the black lady, the black woman, what we gonna do next? What we gonna do next?
Say, even in times of war and disparity, they run into the white person to see what we gonna do next.
And you can't even, like,
if you had any type of system in play, you would know that them ain't the ones you need to run to.
What we gonna do next, honey?
It's all right. So let's talk about the signs of depression and the mood disorders. Depression is most common between the ages of 25 and 44, but it can occur at any age. It can occur.
I can say it's probably very younger now. It's way younger.
But that these kids, a lot of these kids ain't fucking depressed.
How you say it like that?
Because they follow it. And then they're allowing
things. That too.
They're allowing so many things, like the things that they're allowing to cause depression for them is acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got to, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we as parents handle our depression and get our stuff taken care of, we can see the signs of our kids having issues and what their issues are. Now, when my daughter came to me one day, I was like, Mommy, I'm feeling a little bit depressed. I said, what's going on? And she started telling me, and then it was like tears and this and all that going on. And I said, well, you know, what's going on, right? And I told her what was going on. I said, you're just nervous. I said, everything that you said you wasn't going to do and couldn't do is happening in your life.
It's happening.
I said, you're nervous because you wasn't expecting it. You was expecting yourself to fail. Mm-hmm. And you disappointed that you didn't fail. And I said,
your dream's supposed to scare you.
I said, but let me tell you something. I ain't ready. 3 days later, well, I just wanted to tell you, you was right. That's exactly what was going on with me. I'm happy now. I'm starting to accept it. But that's sometimes you just got to know your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to talk to them. Just really, just go to them, and not in a way of telling them, just like, I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm going to do this. Just listen to them first.
I often say that's what you really need to do. Just sit and listen.
Listen. They're going to spill it all out. You can hear the cry for help in the first line.
Just got to listen.
You just got to listen. So
sometimes you might need to stop and then think about what your answer is going to be and come back to them later with the answer, because it might come off.
In the wrong tone,
your delivery might not be what it need to be at that moment in time.
Yep.
But you gotta let these kids, you gotta let them speak. Like I always tell my kids, we can talk, long as you're doing it in a respectful way.
In a respectful way.
Say what you got to say in a respectful way.
Everything you gotta say, I need to hear it. But it gotta come off in respect. It has to be respect. Because that's the only way we're going to get through this issue and go to the next portion is respect. Because you want respect, I want respect. Conversation has to be in a respectful conversation anyway.
Because
not just because I'm your mama, but because I'm a person.
Period.
And I deserve that. You know? So we got to open that gate for them so that they can open those gates for us. So signs of depression. Some signs that might indicate a mental health condition include sleeping more or less than usual, increased or decreased appetite. I'm talking about when I was going through mine, I fell off. Dog, my head was bigger than my body. And
it ain't like you trying not to eat. You just don't feel like
it. Ain't hungry. Dog, my head was bigger than my body, dog. I look back at I look back at some of our shows during that time. And I was like, hell be.
Girl, looking back at it's crazy because when you look back at that stuff, it ain't number like 3 4 2 3 years ago.
That's it.
And you be like, but you always got the journey to where you at now. The journey to where you at now. But it do be something queen going back.
Like, girl, I had to.
What you had going on?
I had to go look.
Growth though. Growth. The growth.
It's real growth. And I was a chef at the time, like a period of that time. And I remember I had to switch. I was in a medium chef coat when I first started. And I had to drop down to an extra small chef coat. And I was like,
Queen, I didn't even realize you were that small, Queen. And we were seeing each other every Wednesday. Because really,
I never changed my clothes. I kept wearing my clothes.
You kept wearing your clothes.
They was big and all. But I kept wearing them. I didn't want to, you got to keep up the appearances, you know? You don't want it to, but because that's, again, I'm trying to disguise it. It's high functioning. I'm high functioning with it. I'm still doing everything, but I look the mess.
We still doing that hustle and bustle every day on this high functioning depression.
On this high functioning depression. Feeling worthless, hopeless, or empty. Feeling this.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one. Feeling disinterested and unable to enjoy things that usually bring you pleasure and joy.
Oh, yeah. I remember all those.
Mood swings.
Yeah, my kids even said, oh, Ma, you just much better. The last 2 years, girl, you've been on 10, like, since after I did the roof project. Sure was. After I did that. And, you know, that was a mentor. That was more mentoring, but it was, oh my God, just being in that room with those ladies, not knowing nobody, and just meeting these and just opening up. And if we just open up, man, so many people are going or then been through the same thing that you didn't been through. Yeah. So that right there was counseling for all of us for 6 months. That right there was counseling for all of us because it was amazing. Like we was class 6. It was amazing. Like just to be in there. But I always tell people, some people say they didn't get a lot from it, but I was like, what you went in there for?
Yeah. It depends on what your whole goal was.
What your whole goal was. And if your goal, if you went in there thinking I ain't going to get nothing from this, you ain't going to get nothing from it. But when
you gotta
I did
keep your mind open.
Yeah, when I did that, my kids said, they was like, Mom, you're just different.
That mean they was happy.
They was like, you was being mean to us. But all that I was going through, but still trying to keep that appearance. But until they actually said something to me, and I was like, wow. Like, okay. Thank y'all. Thank you, Chir.
I was very
They'll
fragile.
Check you too.
Yeah, they got you need that though.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll check you too. But see, but that comes back to that relationship that you have with your kids, that openness, that open dialogue with them and stuff. That they be able to like, Mom, you just
You gotta be able to have it.
Rashad said to me before I went on the fast, he said to me, what you cursing for, Mom? Yeah, what he said that to me, that was a part of my fast. You know what? My son said, what I'm cursing for? I need that mean I don't need to be cursing. My son just said something to me about this. That means he don't like his mama saying the words that be coming out of her mouth when it just be us at the house. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, that's something that I need to change.
Different reasons for different things. So then when that mood, the mood swings is big though, because the people who are around you the most, they're gonna notice it. Mm-hmm. And I know that my mood swings weren't that prevalent because I was in my room a lot. I closed my door a lot. I didn't deal with my kids when I was born through my mood swings. So I did the same thing at work. I would close when I started because I left I left from chefing and went back to the state. And then I would do the same thing then, keep my door closed and just deal with it behind closed doors. And that was a way that I had to do it to not ruin the relationship I had with my kids. I wasn't going to damage that with me. You know what I'm saying? With my brokenness. Yeah. Feeling out of control.
Yeah.
Feeling out of control.
Especially when you can't control the situation.
Ooh.
Mm.
And letting go and knowing that you can't control the situation.
Mm-hmm. That'd be hard, though.
Yeah. It had you.
That'd be hard. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should have did this, or
I should have handled that way, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have difficulty concentrating. And if you or a loved one have experienced any of these symptoms for 2 weeks or longer, you should definitely seek the help of a professional. That's real. You know what I'm saying? That's if you real. Have experienced any of these symptoms for more than 2 weeks, you definitely are depressed.
Go see somebody.
Or you need to see somebody. And treatment options. As a woman of color, you would definitely want to find a healthcare provider who looks like you. And who has a similar life experience, life cycles, things like that. You can definitely, you can interview your therapist before you become their patient. You can definitely.
There's many different ways to even get in contact with a therapist. Now they do therapy, Zoom on your phone, everything. Like, so it's really like, it's no excuse.
All of their whole biography is out there. So you can learn whatever you want to learn about these people. It's not a hidden thing. It's not. But sometimes you definitely want to talk to somebody because you can go and not going to somebody who look like you. If they don't look like you, there could be issues behind that. The reason being is because some of the first things they don't want to talk to you about what's bothering you. They don't have compassion for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really have something going on, they're not gonna treat that. They're not worried about that. They think that you want the drugs because you're an addict.
You don't want them drugs. Them drugs make you even crazy.
But unless if you really got a problem, some of the drugs will slow down the mood swings.
Yeah, you take them drugs.
But if you got like a schizophrenic or bipolar disorders and things like that, you can't really just deal with that regularly. You snap.
I done had a schizophrenic patient before, and man, look here.
So it's not easy. Residence home. It was just like, oh my God.
It's not easy because you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, and they some very smart. Strategic about stuff, like, man, they will sell you a story that you will believe.
You will believe the story.
I mean, like, they so believable. They so believe. You have you in amazement, and they sitting up there. It's a full imagination
lie. And they don't lies. Know lie, cause baby, I done definitely.
They don't know.
Like when I worked at this sister living place, baby, the things I used to hear, and luckily, we were already in the kitchen as the chef. We were already given individual write ups of the news
about everybody.
If a new patient came in or a new guest would come in, and any of our staff wasn't there that day, they came in. I would tack that information directly to the board. So as soon as they come in the morning, like when they clock in or something, they'll see
they can see it.
Because sweetheart, they will get you. Girl.
Have you believe in that whole, that whole story? You'd be, it's something dealing with them.
Yeah, it's something.
It is. You got to have patience.
Every time.
You got to have patience.
And if it's not a job for you, if you don't, it's not a job for you. It's not a job for you. That's not the mindset. That's nothing you need if you don't have the patience. So taking the first steps is not. So taking the first step to get help, the first thing you want to do is definitely talk to your primary care doctor or a gynecologist, because gynecologists have great referrals because they're in specialist fields. Your primary doctor is not a specialist. So, but that doesn't mean that they don't have
a referral, what you mean.
But a lot of times they're going to refer you to somebody in their network pool, which may not be a Black person. So look around, and let me tell you something. There are so many therapists in this city.
I went
to a post on Facebook where somebody said, recommendations, tag a Black therapist. Baby, I did not know.
That's a lot. I think I see that post too. It's a lot.
I was so amazed. I was happy.
That's a lot.
I was so happy.
That's a lot of some of everybody that's over here in Tallahassee, though. Between all our little Big Ben areas, it's some of everybody somewhere.
I like that.
It's growing.
And they take insurance. They take your policies. A lot of them take Medicare and Medicaid. Most of them, and everybody here pretty much takes Capital Health Plan, Blue Cross Blue Shield. So
yeah,
get on board, y'all. So talk to your primary care provider or your gynecologist for women. Reach out to a friend, a partner, or a community member that you trust and let them know that this is what's going on. Remain consistent and committed to your treatments. So if you're going to therapy, keep going to therapy until you feel that you are good.
That you're good.
And remember, there are millions of people with depression who are getting treatment and living successful lives. And when I say that, that's because this we're talking about, everything that we're talking about is Black. Because this mental health among African American, this is mental health among African American women. And if we don't start making our mental health our top priority, we cannot help and heal anybody in our lives that we love, anybody in our lives that we want to be a part of. We can't do anything without a good mental. So, Queen, you got anything you want to tell people before we get out of here?
Yeah, just enjoy the rest of the week, and you know, if you need that help, get those resources. But so man, look here, y'all.
Go ahead, tell quick about the resources. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna find that list of therapists, and when we upload this to our page, we'll make sure we get that on there. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, look, just enjoy yourselves. Get the help you need. You need the help. There's nothing wrong with that. And just enjoy this. If your babies are graduating or if they already graduate, congratulations. You did it, parents. You did it. Like, that's another clap again. You did it. Because this is a milestone for the whole family when a child graduates from high school. Everybody that had something to do with that kid or those kids, that village, it's a milestone for everybody. It, especially when they graduating with honors, all of that, they signing scholarships and sports, all that type of stuff, academics, that stuff it's amazing. So God bless y'all all. Y'all celebrate, be safe, have a good time, and let them children know they better do what they gotta do now. Because look, you got them to this point. College is all on you. We gonna still help you, but it's still on you. We can't make the grades for you, baby. You got to make the grades yourself. But y'all enjoying, pat yourselves on the back because y'all did it. Y'all did it, parents.
Definitely can't make the grades for you, though.
Can't make the grades for you. But anything else, we got you.
Definitely.
We got you.
We definitely got
SW
you.
SW Podcast Wednesday.
That's right. And we definitely appreciate y'all for coming on. Let me slide the screen back down. Yeah, I know y'all can see me, but we appreciate y'all for coming on today. Thank y'all so much for always supporting us and giving us the opportunity to be on here with you all. You guys are wonderful. We will see you all next Wednesday during the week of graduation. We got convocation next week. We got graduation next week.
Everything. So it's Memorial Weekend next week.
So much, y'all. So thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We like y'all. We love y'all. We will see you all next week. And I can't wait to tell y'all how graduation goes at the when we come back the week after June. Next. So thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all next week. Peace.